Hey, everybody, it is Chris Aiken from the Classic Metal Show and the Aftershocks podcast. And before we show you this next video, just wanted to remind you that you can add the CMSPN to your Roku. That's right. If you have a Roku or a Roku TV, just click the link below. It's in the scroll. It's also in the description of this video. And make sure you're logged into your Roku account on your computer, and it will add it right to your Roku. It'll add it. Then you just refresh your device and bang, there it is. That way you can watch all of our episodes, whether it's us or Skull Sessions or Talk to Me or Aftershocks or Classic Metal Show. All be on your TV. It's a deal, right? And it's free, free. All right. Make sure you do that. And now here's the video you actually came to see.
It is your Classic Metal Show right here on the ClassicMetalShow.com. That is Lizzie Borden with Me Against the World. And it's really strange to me, Chris. You listen to a lot of these tunes, especially from a lot of the same era. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the songs have similar, you know, cadence to them, similar sound to them, you know, whatever. Let's just take Me Against the World, say against Cinderella, The More Things Change.
Okay.
Would you say that they're similar songs and, you know, rhythm and sound and talent and, you know, so on and so forth? Would you, are they comparative, like on an equal plane?
I would say so. It's basically the same. You know, the same characteristic, sure.
Yeah. Isn't it weird that certain people, not to, you know, mention any specific names, Jackal in the chat room, would go, finally, something good. And you listen to, you listen to like Cinderella, The More Things Change, and then you listen to Lizzie Borden, Me Against the World, and which, for the most part, is a very similar song, but one is better than the other.
He's just an old curmudgeon. That's really what it comes down to.
It's bizarre to me, though. It's just like, well, one song and the next song, they're very similar. They're very similar talent, very similar in sound, very similar in the era. And it's just like, finally, something good.
Yeah, but dude, the bottom line to it with guys like Jackal and you know, anybody that is short-sighted as far as music goes, they all got stuck in their era, and that's it. That's when it ended, was with their era of music. They don't like anything new. They can't even say that anything new is decent. You know, they're stuck. Whatever that year is that they lost, that they stopped liking music, is it. For Jackal, it's 1974 or whatever. But you know, I mean, even you, dude, for the most part, I mean, what do you like new? And I mean, totally new, not bands from the old days that are still making new. Can you name five bands that you like after 95?
No, I can't. I got to be honest with you. But if I heard something today that was like, you know, cool. No, well, I'll take that back. I do like that Dirty Honey.
Okay.
I do like them, and I do like that Blue Pills.
Two.
I like those guys. I like that. Let's see, what was the band you sent me here?
Airborne.
I do like Airborne.
Yeah. Three.
I like, let's see here. I had them just, this Stone Whiskey.
Okay.
I like them too.
Sure.
There's actually a few bands that I like.
Sure. There's a lot of bands that are, this has always been my biggest bitch. To be honest, it's why Aftershocks exists, is because there's so much good music being made, but nobody hears about it anymore.
Well,
there's no outlet.
Well, that goes back to our discussions, mm-hmm. many times that if there was a commercial outlet that fed it to you,
sure,
they would be better.
Well, and that's part of it. But the other part of it is there's too many jackals and not enough me's that actually are still excited about new music. You know, I mean, I get legitimately like Plush, a great example. And I'll give that one to you too, because you turned me on to it. That is very exciting to me because it's fresh. It's new. It's somewhat, it's similar to like Hailstorm, I guess, but it is somewhat different, you know, but it's fresh. It's a fresh, fresh talent. And as we've said, even before on the show about Mariah and about Plush, they're going to have a big battle ahead of them just to get known at all.
Yeah, because they don't have the outlet to be pushed into the public eye.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at Wolfie Van Halen. He's got every opportunity under the sun for him. He's got pedigree. He's rewarded for pedigree. You know, he's got a great album. The songs are fantastic on it. And I would bet you most people that are rock fans can't name three songs from the record. To be fair, I can't. And I like the record. I just don't know the names, but
right. Well, again, you know, the thing is we, you know, we grew up in an era when, you know, and we've talked about this a million times, where the commercial outlets beat it into your head,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's Judas Priest, you know, you got another thing coming, or Heads Are Gonna Roll, or sure. Living After Midnight. You know, that was a staple. You heard it all the time. Same way with mm-hmm. AC/DC, you know, AC/DC, Shook Me All Night Long, Back in Black, yeah. You know, Hell's Bells. You heard it constantly if you listened to a commercial outlet. So, yeah. So you became familiar with it. But in today's world, because everything is digital, everybody has a way to put their medium out there. Mm-hmm. It's just so flooded that you have to sort through it all, and you actually have to take the time and the effort to do it yourself instead of somebody spoon feeding it to you.
Sure. Yeah, no, you're right. And the other thing too is with everything in your fingertips, people just listen to only what they want. They don't explore anything new.
Nope.
That's why, just like we were saying before, Billie Eilish has 5 billion fucking plays. Why? Because people like the song, so they just keep fucking playing it.
Yeah.
They don't go and do a search and say, hey, what sounds like Billie Eilish? Just play that same song over and over and over again.
Right.
You know, it's a different way to listen to music. And that's the biggest change from the old days.
Yeah.
You know, well,
people are creatures of just habit. They mm-hmm. just do a habit thing and that's it.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Dude, while we're talking about Plush, you want to hear some?
Sure. Let's hear some.
You want to? We'll do like a quick critique review. I'm not going to play a bunch of it, but I'll play like 4 or 5 like snippets of songs, because probably get in trouble for doing that too, but whatever. But, and by the way, I did speak to Mariah about it and just told her that I love the fucking record. And she was like, oh, in typical Mariah fashion, she's like, I appreciate that so much. It's so amazing.
Did you say to her, I love the fucking record?
No, I just said, I love the record. And then drop an F-bomb on her.
I love the fucking record.
Well, I do love the fucking record.
Well, I'm sure you do. I'm not doubting you. I just think it's funny how you just like emphasize that. But it's like, did you actually say that?
Not in her case. I kind of treat her kid glovish. Well, of course.
You
know, I don't know her yet.
Right.
You know, I mean, we text back and forth, but I don't really know her very well. I mean, we just throw a message here and there and that's it. And, you know, but once I interview her in person, then I'll be an F-bomb machine.
Right.
But you know, she's still young too. I feel bad. I feel like I'm yelling at somebody's kid. if I say, hey, your fucking music fucking jams.
Yeah.
I'm expecting some father to go, what did you say to my daughter?
Right.
Well. And seriously, I've seen pictures of her dad. He's younger than me.
I'm sure he is.
You know, he's probably 10 years younger than me. So
how
it's like,
you?
Oh boy,
how old are you?
52. I'll be 53 in 2 weeks.
All right. So 10 years would make him 50,
43.
43.
He's 20.
and she's 20, so he could be 22 when he had her. Yeah, that very easily. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I feel like I can't be like, hey, bitch, what's up?
Yeah. You know?
All right. Here's my favorite tune on the record.
All right.
It's called Champion. We'll play a little bit of this. Maybe.
This is not the game to me. And I can't see, and I can't sleep, and I can't keep fighting all the demons, looking for the reasons, but they all come back to me. Oh, 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 we are the ones. Hey! Hey! Oh, 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 get up and run.
What do you think?
I'm trying to put my finger on it. It sounds like something. I mean, it's something familiar.
I like the fact that it's got some of that classic metal sound.
Yeah.
But it's modern.
Yeah, I get it. And I have a song in my head and I'm just trying to pin it down because it sounds like da-na-na-na-na-na. I can hear it in my head and it sounds very familiar, but it's sure. Like you said, it's a modern, it's a twist on a classic sound, but it's got a modernized feel for it.
Yeah, it's like Hailstorm with a little bit more classic era. Mm-hmm. To me, that's my take. Is yeah. I mean, and goddamn her voice, Jesus Christ,
she's amazing.
Mm-hmm. The only bitch that it's funny. I actually was commenting, me and Tony Harnell were going back and forth a little yesterday. He wrote a review of this record.
Oh, really?
And he called her the best female singer he's ever heard.
Really? And which, that's compared to the gal that he was really pushing a year or so ago. Who was the girl he was really, really pushing?
I don't remember. I do remember that, but I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, I don't know if he was like involved with her in some way or produced her record or something
or another,
but I remember he was like really, really pushing this chick hard.
He said better than Ann Wilson.
All right. Well, and, I mean, very, very similar in style and tone and in, obviously she's covered Heart songs and stuff. Sure. So she and Ann Wilson, I would say, are very, very much on par.
Yeah, I agree with him that she may be the best female singer I've ever heard because she's got the Ann Wilson thing, but she's got much more range.
Mm-hmm.
She's got way, I mean, Ann Wilson never went as high as Mariah does on some of them tunes. And still, you can always go back to that Steelheart cover, which to me is still the greatest vocal I've ever heard from a female.
Yeah, she just kicks that one in the ass.
That is awesome. That's all. I play that. I seriously probably play that twice a week because that is amazing how good she does that song, you know, but anyway, that's Champion. That's
all right.
That's a good one. Let's pick another good one. Let's go with I Don't Care, which the theme to all of these is that she has just been fucked over every which way.
Yeah, and she's awful young to have that experience.
Yeah. Which means either she's real difficult in real life or she's moody, A or B. I don't know, but I don't care either. She's my friend and I love her tunes. So there we go. So here we go. This is called I Don't Care.
You got to say beg you, don't become my enemy. You cross the line without a care, and I will show you no more fear. I don't care. I don't care what you say. You need to know. You need to know what it is that makes me feel this way.
See what I mean about the angry though?
Yeah.
Everything is just you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, well, for a chick who's only 20 or 21 years old, however yeah. old she is, she's pretty bitter and jaded already.
I don't know the answer to this. I have no idea. I wonder if she's like a kid of divorce. Hmm. And maybe some of this is written about her parents splitting up or something.
Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't know the answer either.
I'm definitely going to ask because I swear every song is more than the next of just fucked up relationships, which is okay with me. Lord knows I could certainly relate to those tunes.
I'm really angry and I'm pissed off at you.
Yeah. She may be 20, but she's singing the 53-year-old's life.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Well, again, you know, I'm always amazed at some of the artists that, you know, we like.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the time that they wrote a lot of their songs,
right?
And you're like, holy shit, I wasn't thinking that way when I was that age. You know, you're way more advanced in your maturity level or your understanding of the world or whatever the case may be to pen that in a song,
right?
Because if you think about it, if you look back over your life and think about some of the music artists that you enjoyed growing up, mm-hmm. you know, they may have been a year or two, maybe 3 years older than you.
Sure.
And you know, and you listen to their songs and their lyrics are very introspective.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, holy shit, dude, you're only like 3 years older than me or 4 years older than me. It's just like, I never had that thought process when I was that age.
Oh.
You know, it's like, where did you come from to have that thought process?
Dude, it's so funny because, you know, with breakup songs, especially, I couldn't relate to, I just liked them. I couldn't relate to any of them until, you know, the first person I ever broke up with in my life was my ex.
Right.
You know, and it was like, what the fuck? Now all these songs make sense and making me cry. You know, it was like, holy shit. I didn't know any of these were this sad, but they were, you know,
well, crazy. I'm just going to say that, you know, this is not a bragging thing, but mm-hmm. for me personally, I can only relate that, you know, I've must have lived a very charmed life to use a term, but because I can't relate to a lot of these really painful songs.
Sure.
You know, obviously I've gone through a few breakups and things in my life, but not to the extent where this, you know, I think even Cat Stevens wrote this way back and Bryan Adams covered it. The first cut is the deepest.
Sure.
You know, and if you listen to those lyrics, it's just like, holy shit, dude, somebody cut deep into your soul. It's like,
dude, 9/10 of your favorite artist fucking music is about breakups. Docking.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, of course. It's the love, the breakup songs. It's I'm introspective. It's just like, you know, now you fucked me up forever.
Yeah. Mariah might just be another fucked up soul like Don.
Could be.
Cause I don't think every song Don wrote is real. Is it?
I'm sure it's relatable in some way or something inspired it.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think he writes like, well, these are the four breakups I went through on this touring cycle. So
I don't think
here's so. Alone Again. And, you know,
I think it's just understanding the human condition, maybe a little bit. And you sort of like interject some of your personal stuff in there, but maybe you embellish it a little bit with, you know, reality, whatever the case may be. But yeah, to write lyrics like that, I could never sit there and go, well, let me write a lyric that is just like so heartfelt that it just rips your soul out.
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, but they do. And clearly Plush is doing that. So, all right, I'm going to play one ballad and then I'll play one more. And that's all I'm going to play because I don't want to get in trouble with I don't want to cost them anything and I don't want to get in trouble either. So this one is a ballad. It's called Sober. And yet again, another painful song.
This isn't a Tool cover, is it?
No, it's not the Tool cover. Well, right. It could be because that Brooke, the drummer, I think her favorite band is Tool.
All right.
Because if you go and look online of all her, like she does like those drum playthrough videos, she's done probably 10 Tool songs and almost none of them are like popular ones. They're all like real obscure shit.
Yeah, deep tracks.
Like I saw one, it was Tool the Pot. And I was like, the Pot? What is that? I didn't even know the song. I'm a Tool fan. I was like, okay, cool. You know, so anyway, this is not Tool. This is their own song called Sober.
All right.
Here we go.
I just want to know what you mean when you say that it's over. And I just want to know what you mean when you tell me you're sober. Cause I don't like the way you treat me, baby. How you try to break me, babe, until there's nothing left. I'm a good one, you know it, but don't show it. And you're stupid, baby, cause you know this time you're best. We fought hard today. You took a hit, got your shit, and then you walked away. But it's all okay, because you'll wake up the next day and come back to me, just like you always do. How can I blame you? But I just wanna know what you mean when you say that it's over. And I just wanna know what you mean when you tell me you're sober. Cause I don't like the way you treat me, baby.
Anyway, what do you think of that one?
Well, obviously they're really following the Hailstorm formula. You know, it's very reminiscent of what Hailstorm does. But I'm going to go back and I'm not saying that the Plush band is bad, but if Mariah had any competent musicians behind her, would it really matter who the band was?
I don't know with this music. I don't know, but I mean, I think they're pretty competent.
I'm not saying they're not.
And I saw them play. They're fucking good.
Well, I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying that if any band was good at playing whatever it is that they played, just as long as Mariah was fronting the band, would it matter that it was the makeup of whoever the band is?
Just no.
As long as they're playing the tunes, you know.
I don't know. I guess, you know what? I don't know that we can answer it until we figure out who writes it.
Exactly.
I mean, if they all write together, then it makes sense.
Yeah. And I agree with what you're saying. But what I'm saying is that if there's songs that Mariah are singing, whether they, but let's just say that an outside writer wrote all the songs.
Yeah.
And there was a good band backing her playing the songs.
She'd be fine. She'd be fine.
That's kind of my point.
Yeah. Yeah. She could be the Megadeth of Plush if she wants to be and just change it out every year.
You're kind of like my point. That's exactly.
Yeah, she could be.
That's what I'm trying to say here.
The weird thing, though, is that I don't think she's the most talented in the band. I think it's Brooke, the drummer. And it's only because I've watched 8 million of her fucking drum playthroughs.
Okay.
She's really talented.
Well, I've seen those girls, and I'm not saying that none of them are talented or aren't as good or they're, I'm just saying that if you weren't familiar with.
Oh yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree. I'm just saying in their case,
if you weren't familiar with the players.
Yeah.
And you had a competent group of musicians playing the music with Mariah singing, would you know the difference?
Well, dude, let's be honest. 10 years from now, these four girls will not be plush. Let's be honest.
I'm going to agree with you.
You know, I mean, I'm not wishing for that. And they all seem to get along real good. But
it's just everything's disposable these days. It's unfortunate that it's that way, but that's just the case.
Some manager will say, you need to replace blah with blah.
Yeah.
You need new blood, or you need a new look, or you need, you know, with them, I unfortunately think it's going to be some dick manager telling them they need a different look. That's what I think will happen. They won't be able to push Mariah out because of her look, because her fucking, her talent is way too high. But the somebody else, Ashley, or I don't remember the other girl's name, they'll push one of them two out and get a different look. I would imagine.
Again, image and everything. It's the marketing. You know, you got to market a certain way. You got to have a certain look. You got to have a certain sound. You got to have a certain, you know, whatever.
And unfortunately, that's even more prevalent with a band that is marketed as an all-female band.
Yeah.
And it's even worse.
I'm going to go back to something that I asked Rick Rule from Every Mother's Nightmare.
Right.
You know, if you listen to the first two Every Mother Nightmare releases, which were on a major label, I think were on Arista or something.
Yeah, they're on Arista. Yeah.
If you listen to those two records and then listen to the records that Rick and his makeup of whatever band he had together on the, you know, releases post Arista, they're kind of different. You know, they're kind of like Southern bluesy rock, you know. And, you know, I asked Rick when he released Grind, I interviewed him for that. Right. And I asked him how much influence the record label had on their image and their sound and their songs and all these other things. I go, were you always what you are today? Or did your sound evolve to what it is today? I mean, did you sound like that, you know, when you were signed, or did they engineer your sound to make you more, what do you want to call radio friendly?
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh yeah, dude, we were more or less, crafted to sound a certain way. I mean, we originally sounded like, you know, kind of like swamp Southern blues rock metal. Yeah. And they go, well, we need to tweak this and make you look like that and take this song. And, you know, and, you know, he said, he told me that they brought in all kinds of people to craft them.
Right. Image people and whatnot. Yeah,
into something that was sellable, you know, that was commercial. But once they were no longer, they faded out of the, what do you want, the public eye, or, you know, they no longer had the record deal. They went and did what they really do.
Right.
Which was the sound that they have today. And it's very clear that when there's money involved, and, you know, and I relate this to what you and I do on the show, when there's money involved, everything changes.
Right.
We have to make this image look this way, and we got to make your song sound this way, and we have to make this that the way. And this goes back to what you were just saying, that if some manager, if they were to attain some success where they could actually be marketed to make some money, somebody may come in and say, well, you're going to have to change your look to look like this, and that drummer's going to have to look like that, and we're going to have to replace the bass player to look like this.
Right.
You know, And that's the whole thing. It's all about the whole money. It's,
I know.
It's not about the talent and it's not about the ability. It's about, well, how can we market this to make it more commercial? And how can we recoup our investment in you to sell however records are sold today or music is sold today? I won't even use the word records because nobody buys anything.
No, I think it has more to do with like the whole deal now. I think really everybody's, if you're on a label with any kind of substance, I think it's a 360 deal. I think it's percentage of tour, percentage of merch, you know, X amount from the streams. I can't fathom even Pavement, which is not a huge label, but is not the tiniest of label either.
Right.
I can't imagine that Pavement is just signing them to sell these 13 songs.
No, of course not. Because they got to put them out on the road and they have to put them out there and get them on a stage and get them signed onto a tour. And they have to, you know, they have to make them make their money back.
Yeah. And they've been putting them out on some pretty good shows. That's the thing that is surprising to me, a band that really hasn't done anything yet. You know, the record's not even out. So they've just had, you know, one top 20 song. And I mean, they're getting these tours with Wolfie Van Halen. They're getting ready to go back with Wolfie. They were out with Seether. They were out with Daughtry. They were out with Nonpoint.
Daughtry's still around?
Oh yeah, Daughtry's still around. He's huge. He's very popular.
Again, I wasn't aware because I haven't heard that name in about a decade.
Yeah, he's still going all strong. Right. She was out. They were out with them. You know, they've been played a bunch of state fair. They played your state fair, you know, which that's a good gig for them.
Which one is that?
Illinois. I know it's not your, but they played the Illinois state fair.
Oh, say I went down there for the D. Snyder, Doc, and Brett Michaels tour.
I thought it was Illinois State Fair.
Yeah, that was at Illinois State Fair.
I know they played, maybe it was Indiana. I don't know. It was one of the two.
All right.
They played, it was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, see, this was like a month ago.
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago. But,
okay.
But they played that. Yeah, I mean, they've been getting some good shows, some really good shows for an unknown band.
All right.
So,
well, as long as they're not doing buy-ons and they're actually getting paid.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I worry about with them is everybody they're associated with seems to be higher end, which makes me think they're paying higher end.
Okay.
You know,
so they're buying on?
No, I'm not saying they're buying on to shows. I'm saying like their management team and their management team is Johnny K's management, who does Disturbed.
Okay.
And he did the production for the record as well. So I'm thinking they didn't get Johnny K for $50 an hour at the recording studio. You know, they probably paid a good penny to record with Johnny K. And I'm hoping that they didn't go broke on the record. That's all. You know, I'm hoping they're not out there playing these gigs to pay for the recording.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
You don't. I mean, I guess that's the risk of the game. And to be honest, it's weird because the only real negative I have to the record is the production. I love the music, but the production, I feel like they sanded off too much of the edge. After seeing them live and seeing how heavy they come off live, like they come off like a metal band live. And then when you hear these songs, like you've heard them, they're not quite metal.
Well, they're too polished.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They sanded off a little too much of the grit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hope that doesn't affect much, that people go see them live and hear the record and it's like, you know, this is soft. But anyway, you want one more song?
One more.
I'll do one more. Let's see. I'll go with Will Not Win. How's that? Let's see.
Take what you want from me. Come now, don't be afraid. You'll never ask me away. I think my life is a game. And I guess you won't like to play. Doesn't matter, cause I lose at the end of the day. Feelings are so real. The show is made of steel. I come reflecting all the pain and the guilt and the shame and the bonds that you and I made. I feel I can't win it. I wasn't paid for this, so I can't keep playing you blame. This time you will.
Again, you're not gonna win. Another fucking hateful song.
Yeah,
love it.
Kick your ass, pal.
That's right. Anyway, that's the plush music. There's 13 total tracks. If you like any of those that I played, you'll probably like the record. It's pretty solid.
So what is the name of the record?
Just Plush.
Just Plush. No,
yep,
no
self-title.
All right.
No, nope, self-title. It's out. When is it out? October 29th. So 2 weeks. Okay. 2-3 weeks, whatever that is. Is that 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
All right.
It's out for my birthday, man.
You know what that song sounds like? Sounds like this. Then what that sounds like?
Huh? They stole. You think they stole from Dokken?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it sounds like that.
Yeah, it does.
Sounds very similar. All right. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad.
Angel. You're a dream come true. Now I'm holding you, and I'll never, never let you go. I will never let you go.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, you know what I like about her?
What's that?
It's effortless for her.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't like strain. And even when she's hitting like some of the higher notes, she's just like smiling because it's like so easy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, yeah, this is just like second nature for me.
Right. And Joe Rico, you are insane. Look at that comment. Get the fuck out of here.
Are you kidding me?
I'm going to play the rest of this because she even hits the high notes at the end.
What? How could you say she doesn't hit as high?
She's in perfect pitch.
As Manajevic.
She's in perfect pitch with the original.
And the thing is that she doesn't even like strain.
No.
She's just like, she's almost look happy.
Yeah.
You know,
she's doing this sitting on a stool, for fuck's sake. You watch Manajevic play these songs like live. he almost has to get a running start to hit these high notes.
That's
true. I mean, come on. She's sitting on a stool. True. You know, I'm going to play more of this. Hold on. Now he's got me annoyed that she can't hit the high notes. Come on.
Angel eyes, my heart relies on the love give to me. You never let me down. You're always by my side, and I'll never let you go. I will never let you go.
Come on. You are on drugs, Rico. Get out of here.
The thing about her,
yeah,
she actually feels this song.
Yeah.
Personally. Mm-hmm. You can tell this is a very personal song for her.
Yeah.
Well, she sings this like it's her own. She makes it her own. And I know that's a real cliche thing to say, but she sings it like I wrote this fucking thing.
Yeah. Well, it's another breakup song. So she probably had some other fucked up relationship that she relates it to.
And I get that. And that's the whole thing. The thing is she doesn't strain. It's so effortless for her to sing that. And it's like, she gets it and she feels it like it's her own song.
Mm-hmm. She dude, this is, I say it to everybody that I share it with, and I've shared this video with 950 people. You know, this is the best vocal performance I've ever seen by a chick, ever. I can't think of any vocal performance that's been better than this. Can you?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I turned you on to this, you know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've watched this video a million times.
Yeah.
You know, because she just like belts that shit out. And mm-hmm. I think what I like about it the most is that she's so relaxed and so natural and just delivering it. It's like she's not trying to cover a song and struggling to do it. She's doing it as if it's like an integral part of her existence.
Yeah. No, you're right. And dude, I'm going to go back to where we started with this, where I said about Tony Harnell wrote a review of this.
Yeah.
And called her the best female singer he's ever heard. I want to reiterate for a minute. That's Tony Harnell. That is a guy that knows a thing or two about singing. You know, I mean, his voice is one of the greatest, at least of this era.
Yeah.
And certainly that guy knows the craft of singing better than most. And for him to say that she's the best, that means something.
I agree.
You know, man, I got to hear just that high part at the end again.
Oh, yeah, play it out.
I will, but I want to go back and hear that high part again. There we go. Come on.
And look at that face.
Yeah, she's just like, see?
she's just like as happy as shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, nailed it.
Yeah. It's fucking ridiculous how good that is.
Yeah.
It really, really is ridiculous how good that is.
I mean, not only listening, but watching her.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an integral part of who she is. And she just adopted that song like it was part of her being.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. It's not like she's sweating it out. And man, I hope I can hit that high note. She's just smiles and just like happy. And I hit those notes. And yeah, that's nothing for me. That's shit, dude.
Yeah. It's just what I'm doing now. You know, I mean, I watch that video. It's funny. That video only has like 220,000 views. At least 1,000 of them have to be me. Cause I fucking watch that video. I literally watch it 2-3 times a week.
Yeah. I watch it all the time as well. So, you know, and it's like the thing is the effortlessness, if that's a word, mm-hmm. that she puts into it. It's just like, it's nothing.
No.
She doesn't break a sweat, nothing. She just looks so happy. It's just like, yeah, this song means something to me and I get it. And it's a heartbreak song that, you know, means something to me. And I sing it as if I wrote it.
Sure.
And I like that.
I gotta be honest. I'd be happy too, if I could hit one of the hardest songs ever recorded, Pitch Perfect, just sitting around doing it. I mean, that's something.
She doesn't hit the high notes, dude. She doesn't.
She's doing it in her bedroom. That's the other part of this. This isn't studio here.
Yeah, she's just sitting there playing a karaoke version of the music, and she's just singing along with it.
Yeah, this is her in a MacBook. You know, her a MacBook and a microphone, sitting around doing this. It's not in a studio. It's not enhanced at all. Yeah. Good point, Phil. Good point. Let's hear her do Hammered Smashed Face. All right. Are we done? Let's get the fuck out of here.
Well, dude, this whole show flew by, man.
Yeah. It went quick.
What, we did four segments. Wow. Look at that. And you hung in there and you seem to be doing okay.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. You know, the trick was I didn't get up for the first 5 hours. I literally sat in this chair for 5 straight hours because I was afraid if I got up and moved around, I'd get tired.
Okay.
So I just sat here and didn't lose my breath. And you're going to laugh at how fucking dorky I am. I literally figured out or set up so that I can work on the other computer from this computer. So that I could do the show and do the processing as well without having to get up. So, you know, I tech dorked it out so that I wouldn't run out of gas.
Well, you know, whatever works for you. I mean, you know, I'm glad you made it through a whole 6-hour show.
Yeah, dude, I feel, like I said, I feel much better now, man. I'm a good 80%, and I think you can hear it. You know, I had some texts during the show about how much better I sound, how much more color I got in my face. I don't look like a, you know, a rotting corpse, you know, so I'm feeling better.
All right. Well, I'm glad to see that. I mean, I know a lot of people were concerned and as they should have been.
Well, everybody, I'm fine. So let's move on.
All right. Good enough.
Yep.
Well, you know, our good friend, Officer Jim is struggling with the COVID.
Yeah, and let's hope he follows my lead. And
yeah, I hope he does too, man, because that's some serious shit.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Well, I'm glad you made it through a whole show. I mean, obviously this is the first full show we've done in literally what, 2 months?
2 months. Yeah.
Yeah. And since you played the Mariah version of I'll Never Let You Go, I'm going to leave us with the Steelheart version of I'll Never Let You Go.
The lesser version, as I call it.
Yeah, pal.
Yep.
So we'll be back next Saturday. And since Chris made it through a whole show this week, I'm sure we'll have a full show next week.
I would think so.
All right. Well, we're going to get out of here. Appreciate everybody who's tuned in and stuck with us over all these years and all that good shit. So here it is. It's Steelheart with I'll Never Let You Go. So until next Saturday night, this is Neely along with my very good friend,
Chris Aiken.
We're gone.
Bye, kids. Thanks for checking out this episode of The Classic Metal Show. Get all of our episodes uncensored at www.theclassicmetalshow.com. Join us weekly from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. Eastern at www.cmsradio.net. Participate in the live chat room at www.chatandkill.com. Once again, thank you for checking out The Classic Metal Show with Neely and Chris. Hail and kill. Fuck you, pal. And hand job!